anyone. Isn't that an interesting word, anyone? Because if we use it, we really don't believe it that much. I mean, we watch television, and you see these ads. Everyone can buy a car today if you come to the lot. You know, we have cars here, second, no credit check, no this, no that. But you come there, and there's always that fine print at the bottom that says, I'm sorry, you need money. You can't buy today. I mean, you've seen that order. The cell phones or whatever it be, there's always a gimmick. They want to get everyone there, but I'm sorry, you don't qualify once you do get there. They have rules. They have things in place that would separate people. And so when they say anyone, they don't really mean it that way, do they? I remember not too long ago, I received in the mail a key. And we scratched off this thing, and it says, you win a 2012 Camaro. Whoa, lucky me. I mean, I got a key. All I got to do is put it in, drive away. Needless to say, I didn't go to the lot to pick up my car because I didn't believe it. And if you read the fine print, it says, I actually won a chance to win it. Hold it. Didn't I have a chance to win it when you sent this to me? Only if I scratched off the... We don't believe things anymore. But now go back with me. When you take Jesus at his word, and he says, anyone, if anyone wants to follow me, they can. What would the people have heard? Well, let's talk about following him, what that means. What was Jesus' job after he was a carpenter? He was a teacher. He was a rabbi. And see, rabbis, what they did, they would get a group of people around them called students. Isn't that amazing? Teachers, students, that kind of works hand in hand. That's what he did. And these people that would follow him, the students, will be also known as disciples, or the Bible name is the Talmud, the group of students that were dedicated to following the teacher, the rabbi. But not everyone could be that. In that group of students, you know why? Because based on the level of intelligence of that group would tell how good or bad that teacher is. So if you're a teacher, you're a rabbi, you want a group of followers, you would conduct tests of all the people around you to see if they're smart enough to be in your group. Because the smarter your students are, the smarter the dumber the students. Exactly. You see how it works. And so if you want to be a teacher and you want all the prestige of being a teacher and walking around, everybody go, oh, look at you, you know, a teacher, oh, dear rabbi. You want smart kids or students. They're actually adults, but still, you know what I mean? Huh?
We're all kids.
Oh, thanks. You want to be smart. That way you look better. And that's what the rabbis of the day, it was all about the way they would appear. Jesus wasn't worried about that. He did not have a pretest. Now, here's one of the tests that you may have to follow if you want to be into other groups. Now, what's the first five books of the Bible called? The Pentateuch. That's a good word, not the right one. In Jewish culture, it's called something else. Because, see, that's when Jesus, he was in Jewish culture, right? So it'll be the Torah. Okay, y'all got that one. You just were making me, you're testing me, see if I knew it. Thanks. I did know it because I read it yesterday. Or actually had it read to me yesterday. So, anyhow, they'd be testing it. Okay, in the fifth chapter of the book of Leviticus, how many times is the Lord's name used? Any answers? Don't look at me, I ain't got it either. And 50. There you go. What they do, that'd be one of the tests, because they want to make sure the students knew the Mosaic Law, the first five books of the Bible, so that when they were studying under the teacher, they would be intelligent enough to learn what he was teaching and to make him look good. You see how that works? Now, let's see about Jesus. How good of a teacher was he? Well, let's see. He's walking along the shore, and what does he see out in the water? Fishermen. He says, hey, guys, come follow me. Be my disciple. Be my student. To a bunch of fishermen. They're just fishermen. By the way, do you know what you do if you're not in a student or a disciple or in a Talmud? You go back to your family trade because you're not smart enough to be in the group. So he went out to a group of people that were not smart enough to be a part of a group. Now, by the way, that's probably the group I've been in, the one that's outside the smart group. Anybody there with me? Yeah, I'm not alone. I know that. Then he goes on down, he comes to the city, and he gets this guy, this other guy named Matthew. What did Matthew do for a living? Tax collector. Now, what was a tax collector, really, if we want to be... He was a thief. He was an embezzler. He was a bully. See, because he'd walk up to you and say, hey, by the way, it's time for taxes, and you need to pay 5% to the government, so I'm collecting 7%. Because I need 2% to live. And you say, well, that's not fair. Okay, then it's 8%. Hold it. Well, I only have 3%. Okay, well, then I'm telling the government you're not paying your taxes, and they're going to come beat you up for me. What a job. You get to walk around legally, rip off people. Wow, that could lead down a whole new tangent. We won't go there right now. But he had a tax collector, he had fishermen. He had common, ordinary people, not the smartest of the smart. He had outcasts, he had sinners, a part of his group. He says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. And the people look and going, wow, if that guy's a part of the group, then maybe I can be a part of the group also. That's what the people heard. They heard a very broad acceptance. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, wherever you stand, you can be a follower of Jesus. So anyone is welcome. And they understood that it meant everyone. Real simple. That's what the people heard. They don't have the TVs that we have to fight against. When we hear everyone and anyone, we go, uh-uh, that ain't us. There's always an exception and always a rule, always something that tells me I'm not it. Moving on, it says, anyone means everyone. I want to read this sentence to you. But here's a struggle. Though we'd never say it, we don't always buy into the idea that church should be for just anyone. Let's talk about that. Because we want to say, if somebody's outside these doors and they need Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, they're welcome in here, correct? Correct. You all will verbally agree with me on that one. Thank you. But do you really mean it? Maybe. Well, see, what I've learned is churches have rules. And they're unwritten rules. They're rules that we don't talk about. But there are rules. If somebody came in that doesn't look like us, dress like us, act like us, they may not be accepted. If they came in with alcohol on their breath, staggering in dirty clothes, what's going to happen? There would be a great separation. You think like Moses was here or something and the waters parted. You just watch people walk around them. And then used to would have happened. How you like that? I've been south all week. People say, where's Joby? Somebody's in the building. He needs to go deal with them. Guess what? He can't do that no more. And we have to wrestle with that idea. Because they're different. They're not like us. 10 years ago when I came here, I think it was about this same week when I got a package in the mail. And it was the employee manual for Miamitown Church of Christ. Did y'all even know we had one? We do. It's been edited since I received it. I'll be honest. Because see, when I got reading it, it says, Monday through Friday, when you come to the office, you need to wear Dockers, a golf shirt, or a button-up shirt as proper office attire. The next thing it said, on Sundays, prefer to wear a coat and tie, tie minimum. I'm like, wow, really? And then as I start exploring, what that really meant is we expect there to be a dress code here that everyone should comply to. I didn't fare well with those couple rules. I remember having discussions with people on that. And one person, here, Joby, in the Bible, it tells me about it. And they said, see, right here, it says the priest in the Old Testament had to go through all the proper attire and make sure they were ready to worship. I said, really? That's excellent. I thank you for studying your word. Let's move to the New Testament and see when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, which were the religious leaders, and he goes, woe to you, you men, you're like whitewashed tombs filled with dead men's bones. You're beautiful on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. And the person looked at me and says, oh, does that mean they look good, but they have no relationship with God? You got it. See, we make rules, and we sometimes put clothing, we put other looks, other things as rules to separate people out. And so when we say we want everyone to come to church, we want everyone that looks like us, because, you know, if they came to church, they may not be like us. They may like a different set of music. They may come in, they may be a little bit older, and they go, you know, second service would be much better if you did piano and organ music only. It's more spiritual, more close to God. That may be what they like. You all go, what? There ain't no way. See, they might start imposing some of their thoughts that may be different to yours. And your response, well, you know, you're a young Christian here. You're new. Maybe you shouldn't speak yet. I've been here 20 years, 30 years, and you should listen to me. It's my way. By the way, you're in the wrong seat. You're in my seat. Move. That would never happen. Well, at least that anybody wants to admit to. See, we set rules. And then here's something else I learned. And now this is bad. You all are a prejudiced people. I used to swear up and down that I was not prejudiced. I was like, some of my best friends, like Salonique, Mika, you know, they're different color, J. Henry. And then I was challenged on it. See, I may not have a prejudice towards color, but there's other prejudice I may have. Because you know what? There's people that I don't like. You know what? Yeah, all of us. Do you have people you don't like? Let's see. Is there somebody you just really don't like? Yeah. How about if they came to church today? Wow. That's not fair. That's challenging. You'll be all right with it. Would you talk to him, John? Good. I'd have a hard time. If there's somebody I don't like, there's people I choose not to talk to because they have the ability to touch that button on me and go, boom. You know, it seems like my hair turns on fire. I got to be careful. They might be in the room now. No, I'm just kidding. You're not it that you know of. But we struggle. We don't buy into it fully that we want everyone to come in. We have our own prejudice. And I call it what it is. There's people we don't like. There's people we don't care for. It may be their height. It may be their size. It may be their color. It may be their economic background. It may be where they grew up. They may be from Taylor. Or Oak Hills. Or Harrison. Or EC. We wouldn't let South Dearborn in here, though. Funny. See, we have our prejudice. And it could be any number of things, and we would interact. It may be people that are just not like us. And so we don't interact. We don't go out of our way. We will avoid them and go, well, you know what? Somebody else could do that, not me. But when Jesus said everyone and anyone, that's what he meant. There was no barriers. There's no rules. There was no qualifications and there's no excuses. Anyone's anyone. And that's what's difficult. See, there's a whole list of things that could come up here next that could, oh, wow. Let's go one more. One more. Okay, that's not it. That, I don't know what happened there. That's it. Yeah. Me and technology don't always get along, by the way. That button, I pushed it like 3 times and there, help me now. No qualifications, no excuses. Anyone is welcome to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Next one. Anyone. Sexual past, ex-con, inmate, recently divorced, one more. Legalist, one more. Okay, it takes two to get it. Alcoholic, pothead, addict, hypocrite. Okay, that's a good list. But you know what? We can look at that list and go, you know what? We can deal with those people. Because, yeah, we could deal with that. But how about if I say your mother-in-law or father-in-law or your coworker or your neighbor or the lady behind the counter at Walmart or wherever you shop? Oh, does that mean them too? Or that client that you just can't stand but you have to deal with them? Or the student? See, when we put those words that were up there, out there, and we could deal with it because those are people we don't know. We could use those words and it doesn't come home. It's not people we interact with. But if I say that everyone means anyone and you have to, a responsibility to talk to them and share with them because you're a student of God, of Jesus Christ, you have now a responsibility to portray that and to share that message. And I start putting names to those people, it starts getting uncomfortable. And you'll see what I mean when I go back to we have a prejudice. I remember when somebody said, I don't want them to come to church with me. I deal with it all week at work. I don't want them here. It's my getaway place. And then I started thinking about it. You know what? Does anybody watch the TV show Hoarders?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it make you want to vomit? It grosses me out. They walk in like, yeah, here's a McDonald's wrapper from 6 years ago. And it's on top. What's below that? That's disgusting. Everything they receive, they keep, and they want to keep it for themselves. And they can't get rid of it. Right? How many people go to church to do the same thing? I've been in church for 45 years. I've heard 700 sermons, 900 Sunday school classes, went to 17 revivals. Okay, what'd you do with all the stuff you received? Oh, I review it. I study it. I kept it to myself. Did you ever tell anybody about it? Oh, no. It's mine. See, the relationship we have with God, people, we forget, and we want to hold it to ourselves and go, oh, I got a great relationship. Well, give it away. Let somebody else have it also. It's just not for you. It's for everyone. And we forget that part. We just want to go, well, I got it. Cool. But it's just not yours. So we don't do too good at that area. We want to hold things in. We want to keep it back. First service. How many of you have ever attended first service? Wow, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. I asked this the first service, how many attended second service? The room echoed. And the reason I ask is because what I've learned something. The people of First Service, they've been Christians. They've been in a relationship with God for years. I think at Kay Cook, I remember saying this to her in Sunday school class. There's people in that room that have been Christians, had a relationship with God longer than I've been breathing air. Okay, think about that. 40, 45, 50 years, 60 years they had a relationship with God. They figured out how to have a daily prayer life. They figured out how to study God's word. And they figured out how to rely upon Him. So I was like, hey, guys, why don't you come second service? Because there's folks in that service that haven't got that figured out. And maybe, just maybe, you have something to give them that they can learn from. Because he's second circle, man, we got kids, we got schedules. We have 14 kids going everywhere. I'm like, but you only They have two children at home. I know, but their schedule's so full, I think I have 14. You know, you're running to and fro, trying to organize your house, trying to do this, trying to raise it. Going, that first service, they've been there, done that. They could help you. And I told them also, since they were more mature, that, you know, in their age and wisdom, it was their responsibility to come talk to you all. Well, guess what? You guys could go talk to them too. Because it's in a relationship, it's a two-way street. It takes both groups to talk. And when, because you know what, you're going, well, they don't like the guitars and drums. You don't like the organ. What's the difference? They want to dress up. No, they don't. I didn't see a single tie. Well, I'll take that back. Dwight Groves wore his tie. I wouldn't recognize him without it. You know, is there any ties in here, by the way? I'm looking. No, everybody's casual. Got some tennis shoes? I'll tie your shoes. They are different. But when we bridge that gap, we're going to have a broader level of acceptance. Because we will accept things that are different from us. And they will accept something different from them. And then we'll be able to accept more people from the outside coming in. And those rules, those walls will be broken down. And so then when we become a church saying, we are a church for everyone, we can really mean it. The series is not a fan. Do you understand what a fan is and what a follower is? A fan's the people sitting up in the stands going, woo, doing a good job down there. I'm sorry, it's lunchtime. Talk to you later. But the ones down on the field that's playing, that's interacting in the game, they're the followers. In this passage, it says, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. It says, you must be willing to give up everything for me. The men that followed Jesus, they walked away from their careers. They walked away from their families. And they followed Christ and became students. They messed up a lot during that time. They weren't perfect. They didn't understand a lot of things. But they put forth the effort to move forward in a relationship. Even at the final moment, one of the greatest men, the one who preached at the day of Pentecost, Peter, didn't get it, and he pulled out his knife and cut off the ear of a soldier coming to arrest Christ. Because he didn't get it yet. And then from there, he denied having any relationship with God. Then he got it figured out, and he committed himself even further. Being a follower is not being perfect. Being a follower is not mean you know all the answers. Being a follower says, I'm in the game and I'm going to give my best effort through the power and grace of God Himself to finish well. So that at the end it says, it's anyone, but it's everything. You got to give it all up. That's tough, isn't it? Change, sacrifice, it's difficult. We don't like it. I got a question for you. This is real simple. If next week you walked in here and all these pews were all gone and there's pillows on the floor, I hear a couple people going, sweet. I hear a couple of you going, well, I'm going to stand up and back because I can't sit down on that thing. That'd be uncomfortable. Change would be difficult, wouldn't it? I'm not going to that church. They can't even afford a chair to sit in. See the point? When we are still the center of the focus, we will come up short. But when we give up everything and we allow Jesus to be the center, then it all works.